And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
That was a funny old game of football on Saturday.
Yeah, as I said to you before we start recording, I think we've just got to take the win and the fact that a young player had an exciting game. I actually think I said to you a first gamer, which was a bit of a Freudian slip because he was actually a second gamer. But yeah, just take the win away and move on to next week.
Mm.
And that ends the podcast. I'm Andy.
I'm Nick.
Yeah, go on.
So we won on expected shots on goal.
Just. But it was it was the first metric I looked at on the Sunday stats because, it was going to be the big question after they missed so many shots. And it did feel like they...
Oh, they missed loads, yeah.
And a lot of them were crap shots, but yeah. And you do get more repeat shots. Like, after you kick a point, you're more likely to score more next than the other team. But still, so I was relieved to see that we sneaked out a win. And then a lot of other the measures on inside 50s time and forward half were very close, or we very slightly lost. So, look, it was a close game no matter what way you look at it.
Yeah, and... Look, it was such a funny game. We dominated the first half. And pretty much from the moment they drew within a point in the last quarter, I thought felt like we had another gear from that point. But, yeah, I thought third quarter was ugly.
For what it's worth, they did a similar thing against the GWS.
That's true.
And they seem to have won, you know, that third quarter, the inside 50s were 24-7. Which is absolutely
fine. Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, and then in the last quarter though it was 6-14, and in the first it was 8, so in our favour, and then 8-17 in our favour in the first as well. So while they're capable of being absolutely dominant, they're not at all on a 2 week
cycle. Yeah, running
of sustaining it. Yeah,
running very hot and cold. Look, we should start with a start. And I always like a jumper presentation, but I thought Paul Bullis, hard nut centre half back, beloved centre half back from the 90s, I think. He debuted for Richmond at age 23, presenting a first game jumper to 24-year-old Tyler Young, who's had a couple of years in the VFL. I thought that was a nice touch.
It was a nice touch, and it was nice to see Bully been involved. I think that's the first time I can remember him doing a jumper presentation, but he looks in good shape, and it was apt, and I'm not sure Dimmer could have phrased it slightly better when he said that the Tyler's been in the system for 5 minutes because he's been playing in a VFL, actually...
For a year, yeah.
On the sort of, he had 7 spoils on the game and a couple of other good defensive metrics, and 7 spoils is about what the AFL league leaders are getting thus far this season. So it was a very credible debut. And
yeah, I think I only tracked one contest that he lost, and yeah, as you said, he had quite a few. You know, he was around the ball. I was encouraged they even put him on someone like Rankin. They had faith of him. As you know, one of the big things I do when I'm looking at players from opposition clubs or opposition defenders is which players does the coach put them on, and that tells you everything about how they're rated internally. So yeah, I took that as a good sign.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, he kicked the one goal that we scored in the which was absolutely crucial in stemming the tide. He sort of started the movement and kicked to Samson in the middle of the field, the brave kick, and Samson eventually got it to Dusty over the top. So yeah, he was important in a chain. So he didn't have a lot of the ball. I think it was 5 disposals off the top of my head. But
yeah, it was. Yeah.
But at least he tried to do something when he got it. Didn't sort of play with any shells. So good for him.
Yeah, he looked like he belonged. I was pleased with that.
Because Lord knows after Broad's violent brain fart,
we're going to need
backup back.
Yeah, so for a while. we're recording this on Monday night. He's going straight to the tribunal, which means at least 3 weeks. And honestly, that feels like a minimum, given how the AFL's wanting to crack down on that. So, yeah, that's not good. Maybe we'll talk a bit more about who'll replace him later. But yeah, it wasn't a good look.
No, it wasn't. But the other person who was almost a debutante, Samson Ryan.
Almost, yes.
Look, he didn't do a huge amount outside the three goals. He had one beautiful hit out to advantage, and he was okay in the ruck, but we didn't play him there. Actually, in the first 2 weeks, Nank is up there. He's taking about 90% of ruck contests, which is up there with only one other player in the AFL is taking that many of his team first team rucks. But he was very credible, and he showed a lot of the things we've been excited about in the preseason, except not minus the bad goalkeeping kicking.
Well, as he's probably not as good as he kicked beautifully against the Crows, but as we've discussed before, he's actually just a perfectly average goal kicker in quite a few shots of goal in the VFL. So he's better than he showed in preseason. Probably not as good as he was on Saturday, but yeah, it was really encouraging. He showed the mobility that impressed us in the preseason. Good pair of hands, and a fair bit of leg on him to kick a goal from 50 metres deep in the last quarter. Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it was a very exciting debut. I'd like to see him. The reason I'm sort of looking at the ruck splits is just not sustainable that Nank rucks this much. So I'd like to see them move him into the centre a bit more. But overall,
he was good at centre bounce, as you'd expect from literally the tallest player to ever play for senior football for Richmond. But the body strength's the problem.
Yeah, they just got to give him reps, though. Let Nank rest. By the way, speaking of Nank, maybe that's a convenient transition. It's both Nank and Taranto are top 10 in the NFL in tackles right now.
Yeah, and Nank's top 20 in the AFL in hit-outs, stoppage clearances, and tackles with career best numbers, which is, you know, highly driven by the sheer amount of time that he's playing. But it was one of those classic games where both O'Brien and Nank played well, I thought.
Yeah, it was. It was a very Nankish game in that sense that O'Brien was. Well, it's sort of who wins the battle goes with who wins the game.
Yeah, well, O'Brien was another one who played an enormous amount of time. I thought Nank shaded him on the day, but O'Brien really got on top in that third quarter along with everything else that was going wrong.
Yeah, massively. So, I mean, the thing about Nank, I started with the pressure is because that is his best attribute. His ruck winning percentages are pretty solid. He's basically at 50-50. In fact, he's just a shade over at 51%, which is not bad considering the huge amount of reps he's taking. So, there's no evidence for playing him into the ground, but I think if you can do that for the next 20 weeks, you will. His pressure remains an absolute highlight, and he rates very highly on those. He also got 6 clearances. And Taranto had another high possession game where he got lots of pressure acts, got lots of clearances, got lots of tackles, and the AFL ratings hate him. So for whatever reason,
I know. Look, he did. I thought his kicking was worse this week than it was last week. He had a couple of nasty forward 50 entries in the third quarter after centre clearances, but. Yeah, I think we're going to get a little bit bored of talking about how much he's covering the ground, his defensive work rate. He'll kick the odd exciting goal. He's a grindingly effective player rather than a brilliant player. He had more defensive half pressure acts than anyone. Yeah, going well.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. There might not be a high degree of variety in how we describe them. So, since we're in the centre, we have to pay tribute to the oh thank Christ game for Hopper for me, and the that's what I expected game for you. But I'm very
his first half was great.
Very very relieved.
Yeah, I was also significantly worried that last quarter when it's been about 3 minutes lying on the ground.
Oh, that bit too. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm just relieved about his play in general. But, yeah, he's the fact that he might even play this week, although they listed him as doubtful.
Yeah, so he's got to get through training and a fitness test. But, particularly his first half, he was both – Winning at the coalface, spreading from the contest, using the ball well, kicked a nice goal. Yeah,
and it was a good tackling.
Game. And tackling, yeah. All the food groups.
Yeah, it was a real proof of concept game. So even if he misses a week, I'm feeling way, way better about him than I was last week. Baker was a star again. And that spoil on Hilberg was probably the highlight of the match almost.
Wasn't it? I mean, we shouldn't be surprised, but yeah. And he's another one who's just not, we're not afraid of matching him up on anyone, even the opposition's most dangerous forwards.
Yeah. He's just like we said before, I just wish we had two of him because, you know, that goal he kicked in the first, you know, the Cryptos didn't make a big deal, but I guess it's not going to be goal of the week. It was really good goal.
It was a nice finish. Yeah.
You'd love to play him for forward. You'd love to play him forward full time.
Yeah, you can see why we drafted Steely Green because he's got a bit of a resemblance to him as a footballer.
Yeah. Now I feel like we're just going down the list and talking about every player, but I did want to point out Marlon Pickett after.
He was next on my list.
Oh,
was okay, it? Go for it. Was he not immense as a physical presence? I mean, across the whole day, but particularly the last quarter, some of those contests that really counted.
Yeah, well, I mean, remember how we talked last week how he really trailed off in the game? He had 7 disposals in the last quarter to finish with
15,
so it wasn't an issue this week. Still had 1 in the third, but obviously the was a lot better for the run.
Yeah, no. I just love him. I love having him in the team. I thought the key forwards were both fine. Lynch had 3 goals and some nice marks without ever really dominating. Jack looked really frisky on the lead. But again, yeah, he was fine.
Yeah, he had 2. We had a real problem in the third. One of the key things is we just needed a down-the-line mark. And, like, Lynch was just out of the play the whole time. I don't know. He must have been deep forward. But there was a few times when we really needed a good contest. Jack got outmarked and Samson got outmarked. It was frustrating to watch, frankly, because we just needed to bang it down the line and reset at least the boundary throw. But
yeah, because when we did get it and sort of controlled the ball for a while, we were actually quite effective in generating shots on goal.
Anyway, the 5 goals from the 2 of them are still fine.
Well, 8 between the triple threat.
The triple threat, yep, fair enough.
We should talk about Noah Bolter. Since he was second best on ground on the coach's vote.
Just an extreme comeback game, wasn't it? Like he looked a bit he looked a bit lost last week, and this week he looked like all Australian.
Well, and particularly, you know, Tex got he got beaten once or twice, but he just had a mammoth number of intercept marks, and particularly one on ones, third quarter, fourth quarter. Yeah, it was a really good effort. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, he was. It was superb, and I think he tied the record for most intercept marks.
With nine.
So it's just superb.
And I think. Well, they showed the stat during the game, and the second most was three. Like, yeah, he was all over it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, Vossi had three for us, and I'll just check that intercept marks. Yeah. O'Brien had three. So yeah. So yes, you're three times higher than the next highest player on the ground. An extremely valuable stat. Speaks for itself.
Mm. Yeah, I thought Dayton Short pretty good as well. Unfortunately, he's come away with an injury, which is a bit disappointing.
Yeah, we had to move him forward for a while to balance the team, but he kicked a nice goal. Yeah, it is. We will miss him because he helps move to make the pieces. Rioli, I don't care what his offensive stats were. He's so incredibly valuable to the team.
Mm. And he still was good offensively.
Well, he had five disposals and no goals, so...
Oh, sorry. Wrong.
I meant Morris. Yeah, I could see what you meant there. Yeah.
I thought Dan's defensive work was good against those dangerous mid-forwards. But, yeah, the Rioli had a bit of a almost not quite game offensively, but, yeah. Still the pressure was good.
His pressure is what Dimmer thinks the pressure for the hard knock back pockets who are playing forward pocket. That's the pressure he brings because he's always in the other team's head. He pops up from nowhere, makes those pressures. Just more of that, please.
I assume you nodded approvingly when Ryan Mansell kicked a goal with the outside of his right foot rather than kicking with his left.
Oh my God, that was unconvincing, wasn't it? Good for him, though. Dimmer's determined not to get any production from the sub spot, but he actually did get some. It was an important goal in the context of the game. So, yeah, it was good on Ryan.
Yeah, he was a burst of energy, which I think was the point. And
well, yes, but yeah, there's probably three or four people on the list who could have been that burst of energy more effectively, but you know, whatever.
Mm.
And we desperately needed a tactical sub in the third, but Dimmer couldn't go to it because Ryan doesn't give you a tactical advantage anyway. But you can't be too critical when the Adelaide Crows coach is doing something even weirder.
Yeah, they're playing a centre half forward, is there? So, that was odd.
It does remind me that I know we've talked about this before, in the NFL they've really statistically analysed decision making, and these brilliant coaches who make all these brilliant decisions and know far more about the game than we ever will still make systemic errors in decision making.
Mm.
And it's quite provable. Like there's no ambiguity about it, but it's just they talk themselves into, they galaxy brain themselves into certain ways of thinking. Anyway. Anyone else on the... We're already two-thirds of the team.
We've got through most of the team. Look, his possession stats are pretty much exactly as they were last year. But, Shea Bolton has felt a bit off the first 2 weeks.
I don't think, like, you can prove that if you look at the advanced metrics and the FL ratings, for instance, which he's it's only a 2-week sample, it's a high variance stat, but he's a top 30 player and he's nowhere near that this year.
Mm. Yeah, I was glad he stuck with it. And kicked an extremely nice goal in the last quarter, but
beautiful clearances.
Yeah, yeah. I was interested. He played more in the middle. And we got an extremely brief cameo from Dusty as well in midfield.
Yeah, I didn't mind Dusty's game until he
trotted off.
Was managed in inverted commas.
Yeah, he looked sore at the end of the game, although apparently he's going to play.
Yeah, I saw that. I will be pleasantly surprised if he plays on Friday, but not amazingly surprised, but yeah.
Mm.
I think that's a pretty sensitive issue, how they manage
it. Yeah. Look, I only had a couple more things. I mean, one of them was how much I hate that we listened to a literal employee of the Adelaide Crows on commentary doing the introduction to the match. I can certainly live with that.
Is that Rashida?
Yeah.
What did he do for them?
Oh, no, now I'm going to have to Google it.
I don't think it's anything important. Like, it's not like he's a member of the coaching panel, for instance.
No, but I think like he was part of the panel that picked their coach. Like, I think he's
look, relative to a president or a current assistant coach, he's, that's better.
But, he's literally on the board of their football club. He's the club's football director.
Look, in that case, no. Like, I hate the way we're obsessed with putting footballers or ex-footballers on the. There are so many good callers. Like, you look at the VFL. There was quality that they remember the name of everyone. They had those are the commentators, and it was because two of the guys I think had never played at the top level, so they actually work hard and they're selected on merit. Anyway,
yeah,
Winchester.
I know.
Look, surely there'd be some other deeply parochial South Australian who they can get on the broadcast.
Well, God, couldn't even throw some coin at. I know Bruce McAvaney. So a friend of mine sat next to Bruce McAvaney on a plane on the weekend, and apparently he was lovely, but he said hello at the start, and then he pulled out his research for a horse race meet that he was doing, and just spent the next hour and a half doing intense research from it. And that's all I want from Bruce McAvaney.
God bless. I mean, Bruce and Rue do different jobs, but I like where you're going and what you're thinking.
Yeah. Look, the other how did you feel when in the third quarter when Josh Rochelli personally avenged the 2017 grand final loss?
He does celebrate pretty hard. I thought the first one he was trying to pop the crowd up a bit to get them in, and then when he celebrated the second one so hard, I thought nah, that's just how he is. I mean, they got to sell tickets. Right? It's entertainment.
It feels grumpy old man territory, but I feel like you've got to leave a bit in the tank for like when it actually does mean something, rather than just for when you're pulling your team back within 31 points.
Yeah, the margin was still pretty good. Like it turned out, like it got made a lot better that they actually drew within 1 point.
It was a good goal. It turned out to be useful.
If they got done by 10, that would have been that celebration would have been on the footy shows.
Yeah,
which being done by 10 was very much on the cards when he kicked that goal.
Yeah, totally. So that was the Crows. Anything else from you?
No, it was like you said. It was a funny old game. Like it was going to be really promising at halftime, and then
I was very happy.
But by the end of it, it was we feel like. We stole it. Well, we didn't steal it, as we pointed out. It was a 50-50 game that we actually slightly edged them on, which we had a fluttering win. But, goddamn, how many of these did we lose last year? So, turns out, winning or losing close games isn't repeatable or a skill or a fatal flaw. It just happens sometimes. And that's what's going to happen to us.
Certainly more enjoyable than losing. So we also won.
And Tom Lynch's first victory against Adelaide as the that was a good stat. I say it's credit to the
Kilmer. That was a good stat. I was impressed by that. So the VFL, we played Northern Volants, who we're always going to win. They're very much a battling standalone VFL club, but it was an extremely exciting first half with Caden Bradkey. Our summer signing, kicking 5 goals, and you posted the photos I sent you, sort of the before and after of him, fairly gangly 20-year-old playing for Cowra Rutherglen, versus a year later. He's put on a lot of size, and he certainly used it effectively on the weekend.
Yeah, like it's hard to know, isn't it? Though, because it looked great. So yes,
it looked great. He was shrugging aside guys who were quite a bit smaller than him. He did show nice hands on the lead. And he tests well as being fast. So that's something that could well hold up. And he finished nicely. And in the second half, the delivery wasn't as good. And he still. he's still not a natural at reading the ball and getting himself in dangerous positions, like he obviously did in the first half. But yeah, he's still raw as a footballer. But yeah, it was an extremely encouraging proof of concept.
Yeah, it was. It went about as well as you could possibly hope, and we'll just see if you can repeat it again against a non-Spud VFL team.
Yeah. Jack Ross just looked great. He had games like this last year where he looked above the level, covered a ton of ground, used it well. I thought Tyler Swanter was pretty good, except, you know, just not the same tank that Jack Ross had. You know, neat on both sides and really balanced, as we know, and maybe getting reasonably close to a senior game, but yeah.
I thought the eye test was better than the stats test because he was bullocking, he was trying to get inside, he was really trying to physically impose himself. But yeah, I don't. 20 disposals and one tackle, I think what it was off the top of my head, that's not going to get you back in the seniors.
Yeah, look, it was pretty good. The Bullants, after the first quarter when they tried to play faster footy, they did do a lot of slow it down, short chipping footy, which sort of maybe meant there wasn't as many contests to win. But yeah, no, it was a good but not great game. Probably the same for Sam Banks and Judson Clark as well. They both looked good without being dominant. Jacob Bauer is really fun to watch. Like he throws himself in the air at the football and nearly took a massive hanger in the second quarter. On the flip side, him making himself dangerous, not as a marking target, still a work in progress, but yeah, that's it. Him and Bradkey was a fun combination up forward.
Yeah, I thought Biggie was very good in the ruck.
He was, yeah.
Very sort of just and was great dropping back in the hole, sort of looked like an AFL-listed player should.
He did, yeah.
Unfortunately, he's playing ruck because he had to because the VFL, that's all they had in the VFL, but I don't know, you know, even with... well, we'll come to the injuries in a second. He's still a little way off playing in depth chart, but no, good for him when he played well.
Mm. Yeah, look, just one other I wanted to mention. There are four debutants in the VFL-listed debutants, and one of them, Tedcastle, is an 18-year-old, is... from the Northern Territory, and yeah, there was a little bit of draft buzz around him last year. So he's just a 18-year-old kid, but yeah, kicked a nice goal on debut and didn't look out of place.
Yeah, nice look fast too.
Yeah, so you mentioned the injury list. It is unfortunately long.
Yeah, it's pretty messy and. Obviously, terrible news that Soda has plantar fasciitis, which is, as we discussed in pre-season with Tom Lynch, is really, really serious injury, especially for a big bloke. And it can take the season or even a career to heal. Hopefully, it'll be just sort of 4 to 8. But, yeah, it's going to be really tough. That's really sad news for all those millions of... Soda maniacs all over us.
I know. And the poor cheer squad with their banner ready to go as well.
It's making me sad talking about. I know. Tom Lynch at least is playing, so that's good news. But Dusty is doubtful. Hopper's even more doubtful. I think they used questionable and doubtful, didn't they?
Probably doubtful was actually the phrase.
There seems to be a hierarchy, though, so good for them. I hope they stick to it. It's like the NFL does, and if that's what they're doing, that's good. Like, it, you know, help just makes it clearer for fans. But, yeah, it's you know, Marson, Lynch, Soldo, and
Short.
Hopper.
Yeah, Jaden Short.
There's a lot of frontline players on that list.
Yeah, well, Gibkus, you'd think he'd be certainly be best 22. He's over. So he's had an infected wound, and so that's coming along apparently, which is good. Tom Brown has been training, and yeah, there's a chance he's back next week and on for his wrist injury. Because yeah, I thought given how he played in pre-season, I thought he was a sneaky chance to be a potential Broad replacement if he's fit.
Yeah, it is quite annoying that he's not fit, and he won't be back. At least he's got run, so he might actually be a Broad replacement, just not in next week.
Not this week. He's a chance to be back next week. And Tarrant, not far away as well, which is good. Oh, yeah. Young Seth Campbell. His injury was listed as groin load.
Yeah, it's osteopubis.
sounds uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's actually a standard thing. Get your mind out of the gutter. It's a standard thing for young footballers to have because they get a lot of wear and tear. It just needs to be managed. So, Nick, the Pies are the tearaway darlings of the start of the season.
I know, literally premiership favourites. Well, look, before we talk about the Pies, I wanted to mention a few milestones. So it's Dimmer's 300th game as coach, which is pretty incredible. More than 50 games ahead of any other Richmond coach. We've talked about it endlessly, but it's been quite the career when you think. You know, he didn't coach a winning team until his fourth season. By the end of 2015, he'd coached more games without a finals win than any coach on record. And yet, here we are. The longest standing. Coach in the AFL, 57% winning record, three-time premiership coach, 76% winning percentage against Essendon, which I love. But do you know what my single favourite Dimmer stat is?
What's that?
He's never beaten Geelong in a regular season game.
Yeah, wow. That is a good stat.
Yeah. All three wins in finals.
Beautiful. I can't top that. And Graham's 100th.
Yeah. I know. Look, he's another one who's had such a it feels like a topsy turvy career. I was looking up it was round 2017. Keddie was out injured. We dropped Solo and Corey Ellis, and we brought in Oleg Markov, Jacob Townsend, and Jack Graham. And we played from that point. We played five games, and that was 21 of the 22 players. Like Keddie came back in to replace Oleg, but somehow. That combination of players was just the perfect jigsaw of talent and role players that took us to the premiership. And God knows, we didn't see it coming. How could you see it coming?
Yeah, but like you can see it again this year that how much better the team looked once he came back in between the Melbourne
that's
game
true.
And the. And the round one game is just suddenly everything's quicker and hotter. There's more coverage in the front half of the game, the ground, there's more pressure. like you don't always appreciate it, and it's sort of easy to forget he was battling that injury in the latter half of last year, affected his form. But yeah, the team without him and the team with him, you kind of, oh god, yes, he is really valuable.
Yeah, definitely so. So he's apparently got a fairly easy to achieve trigger in his contract that'll give him an extra year. Yeah, which I'm happy about that.
He's still relatively young, and there is sort of sort of looking at his career arc, and he's plateaued without declining. So
no, he's been very useful for a sustained period. But yeah, I think we probably all, you know, his debut year in 2017, 2019, he probably has a bit of a breakout, but yeah, there hasn't really taken it to another level.
No, I mean, his 2021 was his best season. That's after that he sort of upward trajectory stopped. But yeah, as I said, 2022 may have been an asterisk year, and it'll be really interesting to see how he goes this year.
Mm. Yeah, look, high character kid, has resisted various overtures from both South Australian clubs to go home, but yeah, no, I'm really happy he got to 100 games. He was, you know, he was drafted well into the 50s, and you don't get a lot of 100 game players from there. But yeah, he's worked really hard and made the most of his chances.
Now, we don't know what was coming back the other way, but we doubt it was probably a first rounder for the Jack Graham to Port trade.
Mm.
You reckon if we had our time again, we'd just take him off the table?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Look, I think there was a bit of salary cap flexibility there as well, but no, I think all concerned would be happy with how he started the year.
Yep. All right. Collingwood.
Yep.
Agreed, by the way.
Sorry?
I'm agreeing. I agree with you on
yeah, yeah.
Collingwood.
Yeah, the statistics are ridiculously good in. So they're getting almost the same number of scoring shots as us over the first 2 weeks and have generated 50% more scoring shots, which is, yeah.
Nick, you said the scoring shots twice. What did you mean?
Oh, sorry. Same number, almost the same number of inside 50s.
Gotcha. Yep.
50% more likely to get a shot on goal from it, which is pretty. Yep. Yeah, that's a bit of a worry. Number one disposal differential in the AFL, number two inside 50 differential, number two on clearance, 16th in clangers. So they're not only winning a lot of ball, but they're not coughing it up. So they're getting these really exciting chains. Midfield. Look, the Dacos brothers. Nick Dacos was always, you know, the anointed one, but Josh Dacos is averaging 27 disposals and 4 clearances as well. Tom Mitchell's given them some grunt.
A lot of grunt. 9 clearances a game grunt.
Yeah. Pendlebury.
He's loving too, actually, which is really annoying.
Pendlebury looks sort of the holdover mids, Pendlebury, side bottom, Adams, all going well. So yeah, it's a really deep midfield. Darcy Cameron's playing really well.
Yep.
In the ruck, third in contested marks in the competition, and the forward line, which is, you know, it's a sort of very much diversified attack. It's been getting the job done. Bobby Hill, looking a bit dangerous, but yeah, the Dacos boys hitting the scoreboard, Jamie Elliott. Even Jordan Goey hasn't really done all that much yet. Daniel McStay's, you know, very solid citizen, as Darcy he always Moore's is. Darcy Moore's
been playing really well.
Yeah, Darcy Moore in the keep back.
Yeah, I think you've named enough good Collingwood players now.
I know. Yeah, they're going really well. Yeah. But it is a really small sample of players. So yeah, it's the betting line was pretty close to even until we had a string of injuries. So yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about it?
So I'm at the point where I talked myself into, I'm worried that sort of I'm in a we've got nothing to lose mindset now, mm-hmm. particularly if Hopper's out. Like the fact that they picked up Mitchell and he's playing really well is very annoying.
yeah.
And so yeah, I'm worried about the game, but you know there's a big asterisk next to it. It's their home game. That they're obviously in white hot form. Though other than Howe, they don't really have any. Some really major injuries. And, you know, especially if Dusty and Hopper and
Short
don't play, you know, it's pretty tough sledding. But look, you know, how many times has this team pleasantly surprised us in these big games?
Yeah. And you know, we've seen situations like this of adversity. Missing key players and younger players stepping up. I mean, you know, we had that on the weekend with Young and Ryan, which is a credit to the coaches. So, yeah, who do you reckon will come in?
Oh God, it's so hard, isn't it? With the backs, because they're all injured. So I figured that we won't like-for-like replace Broad. We'll have, sort of have to shuffle the chips. But do we bring in Hugo to bring some run off the back line to replace Short?
Yeah, maybe. He hasn't played all that well the last couple of weeks, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I like his athleticism. Like that's a pretty good idea.
We could play Ross off the back line, the half back line too.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going off merit, you know, he was clearly our best in the VFL. Was the sub in round one. So yeah, that is probably not. The worst idea. I mean, you always go off. Who was interchanged the week before? So yeah, Judson Clark was on the list.
Well, give up, please, give us a treat for your 300th.
Yeah, I don't know. Sonsy wouldn't be a mile away, I reckon.
I just don't think that was enough. Anyway, but look, I'd love to see him. Is he replacing?
Oh, Hopper.
Yeah, but isn't that Dow's job?
Sonsy was better than Dow on the weekend.
It was a bit, but like Dow actually played minutes in the pre-seasons against AFL level opposition and looked pretty good.
Yeah, but Sonsy played ahead of Dow in the final.
Yeah, but you still got like if you're going to play on merit, like you can't guy who missed most of the pre-season.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been back for 2 weeks. Yeah. Yeah, it's a topper. Hugo was the other emergency on the weekend, so maybe he's not a he's not a mile away. But yeah, look, it's going to be a younger team. Collingwood are a really mature team. Their average age was over 27 on the weekend. So yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Oh, it will be. Look, as I said, it's an opportunity, right? We're already 10-point underdogs, and I think it'll be more by the time. Probably won't get much more, but it might get up to one or two more points. But yeah, it's it'll be their home ground, big crowd. Like I said, big crowd.
Oh yeah, it's a you can't get general admission. Tickets, so yeah.
Craig McCraig stirred the pot by saying that Collingwood supporters were louder than Richmond supporters.
Look, whatever you need to do to get heat, Craig. We all think of him extremely fondly from his time as Richmond. And look, it probably doesn't seem necessary. It's going to be a huge night of footy. I mean. But then again, it's still not even April, so yeah, there'll still be, either way, there'll still be a lot of football to go. I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
It starts with a vision. If we're not locked into that, might as well pack up and go home.
You're talking about three flags by 2020.
Fitzroy's played in more finals than you guys.
And after 13 straight losses, the Tigers are no longer toothless. Their first win for 2010. Carmichael Hunt. Pick up Jeffrey. He does. Carlton are on their way to Sydney.
West on to kick a goal from here. He does. What a start. Coming to slow. He's gone.
First preliminary final in 16 long years, and they have done it. They've won. The Tigers are into the prelim.
Tigers.